turn with me to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. As we move farther into this book with that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. If you think back of that incident there in the book of Acts where God is bringing together those folks that are going to be a part of the church, and what an unusual group it is. I think that if you were to have visited the church at Philippi, you'd find several different ones. The girl that the demon was cast out of, her and her family, I believe, would have been there. The Philippian jailer and his family would have made up part of that church. Lydia would have made up part of that church. And those that they had won to the Lord because of the realness of Jesus Christ and what God had done in their lives, and they were seeing the power of God's Holy Spirit in that. And so now, several years later, the church has been formed, and Paul is sending out this letter to them to encourage them. And one of the main things that he deals with in this particular chapter is false teachers. And we're going to be looking at that today. As I was looking through these verses, preparing for this, our time together, I did a little research on false teachers of our day, and I had thought about getting our guys to help. I couldn't have done it, but getting our guys to have helped, and we'd put up some little fragments of videos of false teachers. And as I looked at that more and more, the matter I got, if that's correct English, and decided, well, I don't want everybody to be mad, so I guess I'll not do that today. This is our week to be praying for foreign missions, and you can find those missionaries by name and in some different places. Probably you saw some of those in your bulletin from last week, but if you get on the Southern Baptist Convention's website, they'll be listing, featuring different missionaries from different parts of the country, and you'd be able to find them by name, them and their children, and different places that they're serving, and be a really good way to direct your prayer. This afternoon, before the evening service, our evening service starts at 6, so if we could get a few guys to meet up before that time. I know the choir's going to be meeting, but if we could get some guys that are not involved in that to meet and help us put up some tables and chairs for the dinner tomorrow. And that service for Brother Earl will be at 10 o'clock here at the church. Visitation will be this afternoon from 3 until 5 at Smith's Funeral Home in Green Forest. And then the church is going to be serving lunch to the family. And let me just go ahead and thank those involved in that in advance for what a great job we know is going to take place. And we'll be doing that tomorrow after the service. So if you could help us, if some of you could get together and help us put some tables and chairs up for that, that would be great before the service this afternoon. Philippians, the third chapter, and let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And this is kind of a lengthy reading, but I believe it's important. And tonight, in tonight's service, when we take off at in the worship time at 6 o'clock, and then we preaching time after that, that we'll just keep going on as we get farther into Philippians. Now, when Paul says finally, he's like any other preacher. He's not getting ready to quit. He's really getting wound up. And so he says here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He's saying I'm doing this for your benefit. And he begins to talk about the false teachers, and here's some names that he gives them. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So he is separating that from Christianity, from legalism. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day. He's talking about how entrenched in Judaism he was. And he says, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And that, in the persecution of the church, is what I see where Paul is. The Lord is really beginning to deal with him about the truth of the gospel and the power of the cross. And he says, how hard is it when he meets the Lord? The Lord says to Paul on the road to Damascus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm gouging you with these things. You're seeing the truth of those. And so he says, he persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Now he is really getting deep. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he is not saying in the 11th verse that he hopes that he's saved. That is not what he's saying. So do not gather that from that verse. He's talking about his desire is to live a life out from among the dead, literally, out from among the dead, that he's come out from among the dead. And you and I as Christians, that's how we are to live our life, that we have come out from among the dead. And that's what Paul is saying here. What verse did I get to? 12? I didn't think I was that far down. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, and this is a great verse, isn't it? If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. What a great verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I was telling Betty when we were working on the PowerPoint, she was working on the PowerPoint, that I would have liked to have preached tonight's sermon first, because there's some things here that Paul says you're supposed to leave, and then there's some things that you're supposed to forget and press on and press on. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As far as I was going to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you. that you've given us your word. We just pray, God, that you'd open it now before us. Open our spiritual eyes that we might see the truth of your word. And then, Lord, help us to apply it to our own lives. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Lord, bring us out from among the dead that we might walk with you. And Lord, help us, help each individual here to press toward the calling of the high, this high prize that you have for us, this high calling, this wonderful prize of walking with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in verses 1 through verse 7, he's dealing with legalism versus Christianity. So he says in verse 1, to rejoice in the Lord. So if you and I are looking for a point of brag, and he was making reference to those folks in legalism, and they're around us today. We deal with that today also. We don't deal so much with Judaism, but we deal with legalism. And he says that if I have a point to brag, it's not in what I have done. It's not in ceremony, but it's in the Lord Himself. Now, I am of old school. And there is some parts of ceremony that I like. I mean, sometimes when I preach a funeral in some other state or some other part of the state, I'd like an opportunity to talk to the funeral directors and find out what they do and how what I do fits what they do. And when I'm listening to them and I'm hearing them talk about that, and I'm thinking, well, we're on the same page. And so there's a part of that I like. Well, you do this and this and this. Sometimes we get the idea in this deal of ceremony that you really haven't had a Baptist service yet if you haven't sung three hymns and prayed, took the offering, and had some preaching. Closing prayer. Would there be anything wrong with having the preaching first and then having the song service? Would that go against something that the Bible teaches? It wasn't. Now, I like the preparation of that. I think the song service prepares the people's heart to get ready to listen to God's Word, and so we do it first. And that's pretty traditional. But he moves down as he talks about this thing in verse 1. He says that he's writing the same thing to you. Now, what does he mean by that? Look at that. To write the same thing to you. Now, he says, to me, indeed, it's not grievous, but it's for your safety to write the same thing to you. I think that repeating it over and over is important. Repeating Baptist doctrine over and over is important. Because it's Baptist? No, because it's Bible. Repeating what the Bible teaches doctrinally over and over is important for us. It's important for us to give our testimony on a regular basis, to remember what took place in the change of our life. When I listen to someone give a testimony about coming to Christ, about knowing Christ as their Savior, I'm listening for the change. When did the change take place? This is what I was. This is what I am now. Because we are practicing the right way, does that make us a Christian? No. Because Christ is living in us, The Holy Spirit is living in us, and He's blowing the whistle, and He's bringing us to a constant place of change. Here Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. I'm pressing toward that mark. I didn't get saved and stop growing. I think one of the, and I'll have to be careful not to preach my sermon for the funeral tomorrow, but I think that one of the things that amazed me greatly about Ina May and Earl in their latter days was that they continued to be students of the Bible. And a lot of times when I would visit them, they would have something that they wanted to ask me about what I believed about a certain portion of Scripture or something that they had heard preached, and they listened to lots of preaching on the TV, and they listened to Osage, the service at Osage every Sunday, and they would have something, some kind of question about that. We need to continue to be students of the Bible. We need to repeat our salvation experience to our kids, and we need to have them to repeat that and tell us about when they got saved and what took place so that that is fresh on our minds. We need to continue to repeat the fact that we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves, that it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to continue to preach that baptism is an act of obedience that the Christian goes through after he's been born again and trusted Christ as his Savior, and it's a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to continue to preach that Jesus is coming again, that the rapture of the church is going to take place, and that we're to be looking and listening for His return at all times. And those are the things that you and I are to continue to tell over and over and over again. And Paul said, I don't think it's grievous to do that, but I think it's far good that we repeat these words over and over again. And in verse 2, so he dives right into false teachers. And he says, beware of false teachers. He's referring particularly to the Judaizers that would try to win people back out of the Christian faith, or win them to Judaism rather than Christianity. And he refers to them as dogs and evil workers and concision and mutilators. The scriptures give us a lot of information on false teachers. And I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about that today. I want to give you 10 characteristics that the Bible gives us of false teachers and what we're to look for. Is this in case you don't know you're a false teacher and you're teaching here? No, not that, but for us to be able to identify that, or if we hear something that sounds good to our ears, that we would know whether that's false or not. Will that stand up to the scrutiny of the Scripture or not? I was riding on the river. John Hall's once was riding horses on the river, and we were hunting a trail, and there was another guy there riding, and we were asking him if he knew where that trail was. And he said, yes, he could tell us how to find that trail. He said, I've got something I want to give you before you leave. So he opened up his saddlebags, and he pulled out these tracks. And he gave John one, and he gave me one. John's a very polite man. He thanked him for his. He gave me mine, and I thumbed through it just a little bit. And he started to get back on his horse, and I said, there's a problem here. He said, what is it? I said, it's all a big lie. This is all a big lie. This is not the truth. You're giving folks stuff out that's not the truth. Well, he took mine back. John kept his. You know what I'm referring to? Of course you do. Jehovah's false witness. And they go door to door and they hand out these pamphlets and it's all false. It's all a lie. It's false teaching. It's not what the Scripture teaches. And so the Bible gives us an edge. It gives us 10 characteristics of those false teachers. Now, I'm not sure that that every false teacher doesn't have all 10 of these characteristics, but one of these characteristics, I believe, may, perhaps there's others, but I believe that they'll fall into one or the other of these 10 categories that I want to show you today. Matthew 7, I want you to look at verse 15 with me. And if you have a red letter edition scripture, you know that this is Jesus that is doing the speaking here. And he says, beware false prophets which come to you. Now look, we're beginning to find out what this is like. So he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. So they appear to be one thing, but they are something else. They appear to be one thing, but they are something else. They will come as sheep. They will come. Did you hear me? They will come as sheep. Now, who are the sheep? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So if they come as sheep, they, the false teacher, are saying, I am with you. I'm one of you. I'm one of you. I believe what you believe. I teach what you believe. I teach the same thing that you teach. And I've had some false teachers that have told me personally, I teach the same thing you teach. And I said, oh, no, you don't. So look down. Let's see. How many of those verses were there? Look at 15. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that beareth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And if you turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, you're going to find that the false prophets, the false teachers, find a place of hiding within the church. Let's back up just a little bit. Go to verse 3 of chapter 13. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Now look at this very closely. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And you know the story. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns. Some fell on good ground. It bared fruit. But when you get down to verse 31, he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh the tree, so that, did you catch it? So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So it's the fowls of the air that are stealing the seed away in the first parable. In the second parable, the fowls of the air are lodging in the crevices of the church. It's within the church. And so the false teachers are within the church. Some folks get the idea that if you're going to church, any church, that's a good idea. But it's not. One of my grandsons had decided to go to church. And he and his girlfriend, at that time they're married now, but he and his girlfriend went to church. And he called his mom, and he was real proud about that. They'd went to church. And his mom called me and said they'd gone to church. And I was proud. And I said, I'd rather they not went. As to go to a false teaching. As to hear false teaching. By the way, if your telephone goes off while the service is going on, you have to put a $20 bill in the offering tonight. Isn't that the rule that we've got? Yeah. I wanted everybody to know you might want to check your telephone unless you just want to put some money in the offering. Doesn't it make sense to you that the devil would put his workers in the church to keep the water so muddy that no one would be able to see the truth? Look with me at the book of Galatians. I'm using that deal again. Galatians, what is it? Galatians 1. Galatians, it's right in here somewhere. They didn't move it. Huh, I think they did move it. Here it is. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, what does he say there? Another gospel. Which is not another, he said. Not any other. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so what is... He's saying, it doesn't matter who said it. If an angel from heaven comes and says, it doesn't take the cross anymore. Anyone can go to heaven, and it doesn't matter what religion they follow, as long as they're earnest in their belief. They can be any religion or follow any cult that they want to follow, and they'll still go to heaven. All roads lead to heaven. And Paul said, if an angel from heaven comes and tells you that, don't believe it, because there's not another gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. They're grace perverters. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind but now I see. And anyone that takes away grace, that pulls grace out of the gospel and says that you have to have good works in order to be saved, is a perverter of the grace of God and a perverter of the gospel. Anyone, any religion, any church that adds anything else to the gospel other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified and you and I being whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, anyone that perverts that is perverting the gospel, or adding anything to it, or taking anything from it, is perverting the gospel. Look with me at the book of Romans, the 16th chapter. You probably know this passage. The 16th chapter of Romans and verse 17. And verse 18. So there is something about these folks that have a collection of jet airplanes in their church. There should be something, some light should go off, some flags should come up, that there is something not quite right about this. And when the emphasis is on money, there has got to be something that's not quite right about that. If I were to say to you, now if you will give me some money, God is going to make you rich. Only we're not going to call it money, we're going to call it seed. And you sow some seeds, have some seed faith. And you just sow some seed faith. And if I said to you, I'll tell you what, let's have everybody in here give me some money and God is going to bless you, you'd say, you're crazy. But you turn on the TV and there are thousands of people through their own greed are following false teachers because they think it's going to make them rich too. And they'll point at all the money they have and say, see, this is how that works. And it's false. So one evidence is that the emphasis is on money. Verses 17 and verse 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division, offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Now hang on. He's getting ready to open the basket here. He's getting ready to open a can of worms. But their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They are money lovers. They are Christ deniers. 2 Peter. Uh, the third chapter, the second chapter. What did I say? Second Peter, the second chapter. And look at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So, are we ever going to have to worry about it? We have to worry about it all the time. We have to keep our gun cocked all the time. We have to be ready. We have to know the Word of God. We have to be on watch. We have to be cautious.
Let's see. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
I want to go ahead and look at a couple more of these. Look with me at where Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, and he is warning this young preacher about false teachers. 2 Timothy 3, and look at verse 8. 3 and verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So they are resisting. These false teachers resist the truth. Mainly because they can't. If they went along with the truth, it would get in their pocketbook. It would cut off their supply. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3. And this is what he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Talking about the world, the congregations, the people that come to hear preaching. Do you see what he said? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own, do you see what that next word is? After their own lust. What does that word mean? Well, most of the time, we think that it has some kind of sexual connotation toward it. But this is anything that you are after in your life that you cannot righteously fulfill, whatever that is. It is that you are after in your life, that you desire in your life that you cannot righteously fulfill. That is what he is referring to here as lust. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Matthew 15 and verse 9, the Bible says that they'll be bound by tradition. Don't change anything. We've always done it this way. Now, you know, there is not anything wrong with keeping something the same if it's doing the job. If it's winning people to Jesus and it's doing the job, then let's keep it the same. If it's not winning people to Jesus, let's change our method some way. We can't change the message. We must not change the message, but we can change our method.
That's hard on old people. I'm one of them. It is hard to see the method changed. When Brother Nathan went down to Alma to pastor, he called me. We were talking on the phone. He said, "You have a word of advice for me?" I said, "Yes, I do." Go slow. Go slow. It doesn't mean don't change. It just means change slow sometimes. Some congregations can handle it better than others, but most of the time, those old codgers like myself will not put up with very fast change. I wanted to read Isaiah, the 29th chapter, before I quit today. Anybody got the roast on or anything? You do? Is it on timer? It's not? Anybody you can call? 29. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Ephesians 4 says that there's going to be a deception. 2 Peter said that they followed through their lust, a lustful desire in their own heart, that they could not righteously fulfill, they fall after. And so those are those things that you and I look for in the false teachers. It's got to be backed up by the Word of God. Show it to me in the Bible. And in your own life, if someone's trying to teach you something that is going against the grain some way, you think, I hadn't heard that before. Well, just show it to me in the Bible. Show me in the Scripture where it teaches that. Don't isolate a verse. Pull out a verse. Judas went out and hang himself. And then find a verse somewhere else that says, "Go thou and do likewise." We have to be cautious about isolating verses. Let me ask you a real personal question today. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you can point to and drive down a stake and say, "Right here, I repented of my sin. I asked Jesus to come into my heart to be my Savior. And He changed my life." If that's not true in your life, would you be saved today? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior today? Perhaps the Lord's dealing with your heart about doing that. He's knocking on your heart's door and He wants you to do that. Or He's dealing with your heart about a recommitment to Him and perhaps becoming a part of this fellowship. Or you've followed the Lord as far as you've been saved, but you haven't yet followed Him in believer's baptism. And you know, the Bible says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And then that next phrase says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then He told us He'd always be with us. Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a congregational hymn. And Brother Roger's going to come up here and help me. Let's stand together.
Maybe you just need to come to this altar today and do business with God. Whatever your need is, talk to Roger, talk to me. We invite you to come right now.